Visiting today with OSU's Seth Bird, we're talking cotton. So why don't we start off, just kind of give us an overall generality of kind of where we're at right now.
So, you know, it's early January, harvest is over. Most of what we're doing now is waiting on our cotton that was harvested from the 2021 season to be classed. The latest report shows that we've gotten just about 350,000 bales from Oklahoma classed. So still a pretty good ways to go in terms of fiber quality results that are going to come back to our farmers. And that always helps us kind of understand, you know, maybe beyond just the yields, things that we could have happened last year, and whether it's related to variety selection or weather, maybe things that we can address going into 2022 season. So that's a big thing going on right now. Planning for the year, you know, at this time of year, we don't usually see a ton of field work going on. Hopefully if they grow a winter cover, you know, they got that in on time. Obviously the big news right now is the lack of moisture. So, you know, if they did get something planted and got it up, congrats. I know a lot of folks are struggling to get stands established with the dry weather we've had in Oklahoma, especially in the western part of the state.
So what does that look like? So what if you didn't? What are your options there?
Yeah, there's not a ton, I guess. You know, if it's and I'm not a small grains expert by any means. We do cover crop trials every year where we're planting various species of small grains to sort of evaluate them in cotton. That being said, you know, if it's dry and it stayed dry, hopefully your seed's still viable. So if you get some moisture, you can maybe get a stand. Of course, the worry there with anything is if you don't get enough moisture, is it going to sprout and die before it gets up? That's obviously a problem. And, you know, a lot of folks in certain areas, and I know there's some folks in Oklahoma that grow oats. Oats are one of those crops that you can plant later. So it typically gets started, you know, around January, February, and still make a decent amount of biomass or residue to serve as a cover. So if you think you've lost, you know, your fall planted cover, you know, potentially you can fit in an oat crop later, but, you know, at the same time, that's more money going in. And unless the forecast changes, we get a lot of, you know, moisture between now and then, who knows how, you know, realistic it is to try to fix what we're dealing with now. But yeah, I think that's an issue. And even if you don't plant a cover, obviously, you know, no one wants to see a dry winter where we're not seeing much moisture replenishment. Even with the prices where they're at, we need to have moisture there to help with anything that we're going to be planting in the spring.
Well, since you mentioned this is kind of a downtime, let's just talk a little bit about the ins and outs of cotton. So if you're harvesting cotton and taking it to someplace, I know there's different types of different pieces of the cotton that people use. So kind of walk us through the process of you've got your cotton, you've harvested it, and now what happens?
Yeah, so I guess there's several different components, and I'm probably going to potentially miss one or screw one up. So fair warning on that. But the one that I work with primarily is going to be the fiber. And that's what everybody thinks of when they see cotton. That's what you see when you look at a field of cotton, you know, in the fall before harvest. It's that white fiber that goes into textiles or whatever. And that's, you know, what we're doing at the gin is separating the fiber from the seed. You know, for us in the U.S., most of our fiber, once it's ginned, is exported. So we don't have a ton of domestic consumption in terms of spinning mills that are in the U.S. There's some, but there's not a lot. So most of that ends up going to Asia to be spun into, you know, clothes or sheets or you know, whatever else kind of textiles that will use cotton fiber. And so the seed, obviously, you're separating the lint from the seed. The seed is generally, you know, whole cotton seed is a lot of times crushed for oil. So there's cotton seed oil. And folks can use cotton seed oil for a variety of things. You also have the hulls of the seed that are most often used in livestock feed. And obviously one of the concerns is, and this is actually something that I've had discussions with folks here at OSU that are in the vet school and are in the pathology field about using cottonseed hulls, because the compound gossypol is toxic to cattle. So we have to be cautious and careful of how much we're feeding. And there's a lot of testing that goes on to determine gossypol levels. And that's something that we've kind of talked about, is with these new varieties, smaller seeded, are we seeing any changes in gossypol content of cottonseed? And that may be something that we look at in the future. And then there's a little bit of other waste, bracts, burrs, you know, material that comes off those modules in the gin. And those are used for a variety of things. I know some folks use them for compost. It was one of the main things they use. Any, you know, non-lint or non-seed trash for. And then there is motes. And motes are basically fibers that are very short, balled up. I'm probably going to get this totally wrong. And if anybody is listening to this that is more of an expert on ginning than I am, they're probably, you know, you're not super thrilled with my explanation of motes, but it's basically fiber that you can't gin. It's low quality, short, tangled up fiber. And I believe that a lot of that is used in insulation or maybe stuffing of like furniture or pillows. It can go into a variety of things, but it's just basically, it is fiber, but it's fiber that's, you know, can't be ginned. It's balls of short fiber, tangled fibers. So there was my very choppy rundown of the components of cotton.
But that's a lot. Like, that's for one little cotton stalk, that's a lot of really good uses.
Yeah, there's a lot of different components. And I'll say, you know, again, I'm going to always defend cotton. I know it gets a bad rap, but we do use a lot of the plant that we harvest. I mean, Even the stalks, you know, folks will sometimes, I know there was some talk about using those stalks for biofuel at one time. So, I mean, you know, we do try to be fairly efficient, you know, with the way we use everything that we bring out of the field.
Absolutely. Well, so is now kind of a time when producers need to be deciding what they're going to plant and, you know, herbicides and all those kinds of things? Is that what you do during January and kind of the downtime?
Yeah, we've had a lot of growers talk about, you know, they might ramp up additional soil testing, which maybe counterintuitive. I mean, I think the thought is, you know, with prices the way they are, maybe I need to be a little more thorough in getting my soil tests done and how I'm testing so that I can be sure I'm efficient with what I'm applying. So, you know, if you didn't pull a fall soil test, a lot of folks are doing those now, making plans for fertilizer. Obviously, you know, we've talked before about the crop protection side of things with both the prices and supply of products. We often will see, and it depends on the system that the grower is in, but we'll often see the start of applications of herbicides, residual herbicides in March. You know, so that's something that is going to be need to be planned for in advance. Typically, unless they're putting them out with a pivot, a lot of those yellows, those herbicides will go out with tillage. So they need to be incorporated in. So there's some thought and some planning needs to go on there. Not only are we going to still do that this year, but how are we going to do it? How are we going to apply them? And if we don't, and it's something that we normally do, do we need to adjust and put something in place later down the road to account for the taking that tool away from us this year? So that's the big thing. I think, you know, getting fertility plans in place and getting that early season herbicide, if you're going to make it, that application sort of planned out would be the two main things that we see right now. And again, variety selection, book and seed, if you haven't already, that kind of stuff.
And prices are still pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, there's so many other factors involved, but the price has stayed strong. And I'm only as smart as the economists that I read online, what they say. So if I'm reading things correctly, I guess there's a little bit of hope for some stability in that price through a lot of this year.
You guys have the Red River Crops Conference coming up next week. So if ever anybody wants to go, kind of what should they expect when they go to one of these things?
Yeah, so it's a two-day event. The first day on the 19th is the Cotton Day, and that's obviously the one that I have the most, pay the most attention to. We'll have usually bring in a lot of different guest speakers to cover different areas, try to hit on things that are upcoming concerns or upcoming issues. I always have an update, usually from somebody from the National Cotton Council. This year, it's Jody Campici will be there. We also have one of my favorite people to listen to talk, John Robertson. He's the economist from Texas A&M. He always does a great job. He's going to give a cotton market update. I really enjoy John's talks, and I'm not a very smart person, so I usually get confused by economists, but John's one of the few ones. There's a couple out there that when he talks, I can usually understand most of it. So I really appreciate John's opinions on things. And then there's going to be an update from Cotton Incorporated. And then one thing that I think is also going to be maybe something that we don't think about as much in our area, but David Kearns will be there from A&M as well. He's going to give an insect update. There's a lot of things going on, not only with insects, but also traits to address insect issues. And there's some new traits that are out, some new technologies out. And I think that Dr. Kearns and the entomologist group as a whole, they usually do a really good job across the belt of evaluating traits, what works, what doesn't, and then trends in insects and you know, things we need to look out for. So I usually enjoy those entomology talks as well. So there'll be a lot of different things there on the Cotton Day on the 19th.
And I think the next day is when your wife comes in, and you really should have said she was your favorite speaker, Seth. I'm just going to be honest.
On the 20th, she definitely is.
Yeah, they've got a lot of great speakers lined up for the 20th as well. That's when I think the grain and the markets, the grain markets side of things come into play. And as we mentioned, Misha is going to be speaking about weed control studies, but there's also going to be some folks there talking about hay storage and hay management and all kinds of things. So if people would like to sign up to go to this, first of all, where is this going to be held this year?
Make sure I'm getting this right, Casey, before I tell you something wrong. This year, because we did have to change it, it's going to be at the Jackson County Expo Center. So that's in Altus, Oklahoma.
Okay. And so if people want to go, you can actually just, I'm looking at the press release that you guys have up on agriculture.okstate.edu, and they have a little registration form that you can actually fill out if you do want to go. And I'm assuming you could probably just show up that day as well and go in person.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of folks will also register with their or contact their local county office. I know they like folks to pre-register just because of the meal count. The last thing you want to do at one of these meetings is run out of food.
Sure.
You can likely show up the day of and at least sit through the talks, but certainly contact your local extension office or go through that website and register ahead of time.
All right, Seth, thank you so much for visiting with us today. Good cotton stuff.
No, thank you.